Well, hello, and welcome back once again to another episode of Ghost Stories Told from the South. I am your host, Stephen LeBooth, and I got some skilly stuff for you today, boys and girls. All right, man, I'll quit creeping you out in my dad humor here, but I hope everybody's fine. Sorry this one is so late. It's just been a busy week and a busy weekend, but I'm going to do three episodes today back to back to have them ready for the future weekends because baseball season is here and it crept up on me. So that's why I'm late today. Baseball season started, so. But I'm still on here doing it. Just want to say thank you to everybody who listens. And if you're listening right now, wherever you're listening, stop what you're doing and please subscribe. Hit that like button. Even on my YouTube channel, do the same thing there. I want to give a shout out to them guys over there. I'm growing over there too, guys. Pretty good. So if you don't mind, go support me over there on YouTube. Ghost Stories Told from the South. I got all my episodes up there. Sometimes I do videos, but I don't get many likes on them or many plays. So I don't show my ugly mug much. So I just do the regular still picture with the audio. And I get a lot of likes, plays that way, so hey. But anyway, support me there. Give me a 5-star review if you don't mind, or a 4-star. Or if you don't like my show at all, just give me a thumbs down. You know, tell me what you think. That's what keeps the show going, guys. Just want to give a shout-out and a thank you to everybody listening and my faithful listeners out there. And sorry I'm late. But without further ado, I guess we'll get on down to the getting. And we'll get on with some ghost stories, guys. So, you know the routine. Cuddle up by the fire. Get you a nice warm blanket. Get you some hot cocoa or some hot tea or whatever you prefer to drink. Sit back and relax. And get ready to be scared. And strap in. All right. Okay, our first story is the Moody Mansion in Galveston, Texas. Making the Moody Mansion, built in 1895 for Narcissa Wells, the Moody Mansion was the first Willis Mansion. Narcissa had actually wanted the house much sooner. A Galveston socialite, she always wanted a sizable Stanley home to impress her ever-growing social sphere. Her husband Richard controlled the purse strings. Richard had been a proper sewer of cotton broker who could afford the mansion. Unlike her, Richard preferred to keep his assets liquid. Cash was easier to inherit than property, especially whenever you were dividing it amongst 10 children. Reportedly, the Willis children would never receive the inheritance. Richard died in 1892, and her funneled his furniture into the then Willis Mansion against her late husband's wishes. Okay. She commissioned the home within a year of his death. For this, she was extracted from her family. Her children never even visited the home. She thought that the extravagance of the estate would She thought the extravagance of the state would encourage her children to bury the hatchet. Avoid abandonment and alienated from her offspring, she remained in the Moody Mansion. Outside of the housekeeper, she was the estate's only occupant. She said, isolated was at least short-lived. She died in 1899, and her daughter, Beatrice, put the Moody Mansion up for sale. A wispy widow. While there have been no specific haunting guests have overheard disemboweled voices alongside unknown footsteps, or perhaps she still considers the Moody Mansion her own home. The most common phenomenon appears within a photographs, pictures that are taken at the site, often revealing unveiling some unrecognizable guest. These guests are blurred or otherwise unseeable, leading some to believe that there are apparitions. Spirit photography isn't particularly popular at the Moody Mansion. Visitors have even sworn to see faces appear in their pictures. Are these portraits of the paranormal or something else? In 1900, a hurricane swept through Galveston, nearly destroying the entire city. The Moody Mansion stood strong, but over 6,000 Texans died. Perhaps some of their spirits wandered to the Moody Mansion and never left. Haunted or not, the unearthly appearance of the property is perilously matched for bidding, and a phenomenon like it's true to spook these skeptics and supernaturists alike. Plus, your camera may catch what the naked eye could not see. Okay, more about the Moody Mansions. I mean, about the Moody Mansion. Yeah. Libby Moody convinced her husband, William, to enter a bid on the mansion. Theirs was just one of the many bids. But after the 1900 hurricane, most of the other bidders withdrew. The home has been valued over $1 million, but the Moody's acquired it for just $20,000. Oh, I'm sorry. It was they had to pay $100,000, but the house was only worth $20,000. Okay. Libby and William tenatured at the Moody Mansion was pretty unremarkable. They had a quite successful existence. Members of the Moody family remained in the house until 1986, with the last resident being William and Libby's daughter, Mary. The only scandal that involved the Moody family occurred when William left everything to Mary, cutting his other children out of the will. Even that was resolved with getting a lot of the members mad in the family. William Moody died in 1954, and flags across Texas were flown at half-mast. The respect he garnered from the fellow Texans was a testament to his understanding character. The living legacy. William Moody had his fingers in everything or in every pie imaginable. Cotton, banking, land, ranching, insurance, publishing, hotels. If anyone had a Midas touch, it was William. Libby was actually worried that her husband was working himself to death. His reply, check it out. Do not worry about me for my capacity for work seems endless, and I really enjoy it. It is just like playing cards, and succeeding is winning. The Moody name lives in the form of the Moody Foundation set up by William and Libby in 1942. The Moody Foundation funds programs involving social services, children's needs, community and development, and education. Buildings on campus at SMU in Dallas and the University of Houston bear the Moody name as a result of the foundation and contributions. The enterprise in the empire was so estimated in Galveston that the Moody Mansion became the Moody Museum in 1986. The museum commemorated the achievements of the family while preserving the historic home. Okay, who cares about by the time this is... Okay, let's see here. Let's see what they say about ghost sightings. Or some more of them. Well, son of a britches. Okay, let's see here. I'll read. All right, let's go with. I guess I'll go with the Moody Museum. All right. Well, now, of course, it's a museum. The Moody Museum was opened to the public in 1991. Though it sets out to create the personality of the property from 1911, special effect lighting was likewise installed to emphasize the exhibits, which depict the display awnings of the Moody family. The paper's photographs are on display amidst period interiors, allowing for an interactive experience. And, you know, people say they hear disembodied voices. They hear footsteps. And some say they see the figure of Miss Moody still wandering the hallways and stuff because, you know, she died alone in the house. And yeah, so see, that's what happens when you're a stingy old person. You know, that's what made the kids mad. I take it she was their mother died and he remarried. And when he died, he put in the will. The kids got nothing. She talked him into leaving her everything. And then this dumb broad thought, well, over time, the kids would forgive me. But she left they never came back and talked to her or nothing. Now, they came and probably got the house after she died, and it stayed in the family like the story said, but yeah, I guarantee her being lonely in there that whole time. And, yeah, she probably went nuts, cuckoo, and her I guarantee your spirits all over that place. It would be a very awesome treat to go visit a place like that. I think it would be fantastic. Like Fandango. All right. Our next story, ladies and gents, is... All right, our next story is Demon's Road in Huntsville, Texas. The tale begins like this. Welcome, fearless readers. Brace yourself. Now, this isn't me writing the story. It's somebody else, so just want to say that. Welcome, fearless readers. Brace yourself as we are about to go deep into the eerie mystery of the shrouds of Demon's Road. Twisted tales, unexplained occurrences, and strange whispers in the shadows will be our guide as we navigate this spine-chilling journey together. Echoing across Huntsville, Texas, Demon's Road is more than just one ordinary stretch of asphalt. It's an ominous realm that thrill seekers of the supernatural legends say. Not all who wander down this road remain the same, for some very fabric of reality changes forever. Are you ready to surrender? Are you ready to surrender your fear and take a peek behind the veil? Hold on to your seat and street your nerves. Oh, and still your nerves as we unveil the truth. Haunting tales from its infamous road. Welcome to Demon's Road, where history, mystery, and folklore conspire to challenge everything you thought you knew about the paranormal. The history of Demon's Road. Demon's Road is a nickname given to the Bowden Road, located in Huntsville, Texas, USA. It's known for strange phenomenon, and it's estimated to be the host of many paranormal occurrences. Its history, popularity involves tragic events and unusual sightings contributing to its reputation. Neighboring this road is the historical notorious Martha Chapel Cemetery. Established in the 19th century, the cemetery plays a huge part in the chilling reputation of Demon's Road. Visitors to the cemetery in the road often report eerie experiences such as apparitions, shadows, figures, physical contact, and strange lights. However, it's important to take into account that a lot of the history surrounding Demon's Road is heavily influenced by folklore, ghost stories, and urban legends. It stands as a token of local legend more than definitely historical significations. As such solid variable events associated with the roadway itself might not be available. If you plan to visit this area, It suggested to respect the private property noticed and not to trespass, as it is still an actively used road and cemetery. Demon's Road, officially known as Bowden Road, is a location in Huntsville, Texas, that has over the years acquired a reputation for paranormal or haunting occurrences. Number one on here, on this road, we have, the number one place we have on this road is Martha's Chapel Cemetery. Many of the alleged hauntings of Demon's Road are connected to the cemetery, which is situated at the end of the road. It's a local legend that visitors would feel a sense of unease or dread. Report seeing supernatural figures or apparitions, and in some cases have unaccounted physical scratches on their arms and back. Uncanny sightings. Numerous people have reported uncanny sightings along the road, which include ghostly figures appearing and disappearing into the trees, and various demonic creatures. One such reoccurring sighting is a small child who supposedly appears on the road and suddenly vanishes. The Phenom Truck. There are also reports of encounters with a Phenom Truck that drives at high speeds down the road, only to disappear suddenly when visitors claim to have been chased off Demon's Road by it. Number four, we got the Red Eyes. Perhaps the most famous paranormal entity associated with Demon's Road is the ghost with the red eyes. Many locals and paranormal investigators claim to have seen this figure watching them from the tree line, evoking feelings of instant fear and dread. The unusual incidents. A few visitors have reported unusual incidences such as sudden temperature drops, electrical devices going haywire, and car problems, and they approach certain spots on the road too. Or stuff happens when they approach certain spots on the road. That's what I'm trying to say. These accounts are highly subjective and often rely on personal testimonies. While they have contributed to the chilling reputation of Demon's Road, it's important to remember that actual scientific proof validating these experiences is often lacking. Paranormal claims tend to be matters of personal belief and interaction more than anything else. Demon's Road, known officially as Bowden Road. Okay, I just read that. Okay, the road is has unseen many tales and stories over the centuries, making it a significant part of Texas. The foundation of Demon's Road haunting's reputation stems from a combination of its history and the militant first-handed accounts. The place was a Native American trail long before it turned into a carriage route and later a modern road. Due to various conflicts and land disputes. Many violent occurrences happened which many have contributed to the supernatural unrest in this region. One of the most prolific encounters individuals claim to have experienced includes seeing apparitions, ghosts, and specters, and some believe to previous inhabitants of this area of these interred in the nearby cemetery. Many report feeling an unsettling presence or feeling of being watched. The road also passes by the Maple Creek Cemetery, which dates back to the 1800s, and adds the eerie atmosphere. Sightings of a particular phantom, often referred to as the Hitchhiker, has become a staple in local folklore. Legend says those who pick up the figure report an immediate sense of forbidding, and later experiences paranormal disturbances at home. The monster of Demon Road is another part of the lure. Said creature is often described as being aggressive, large, shadowy, appearing and disappearing mysteriously into the darkness. Despite his reputation, Demon's Road contains to be the site of intrigue and considered. It is considered a distant part of Huntsville's local culture, history, evoking intrigue amongst paranormal enthusiasts. All right. That was Demon's Road in Huntsville, Texas. You're a demon. No, you're a demon. All right, let's see. What do we got next? Let me get a drink. All right, let's get on with our next story. All right, our next story is Spring, Texas. Where am I? Okay. I don't know how that happened, but here we go. This is Spring, Texas. The Curse of Old Town Springs. Okay, where am I going to start here? Okay. This isn't me talking. This is someone who does the ghost tours. Welcome to Ghost Tours. Our guide begins in a Scottish accent. In a Scottish accent, but I'm not going to talk in a Scottish accent for you. I'm just going to read like I normally do, okay? Anyways, I'm in Old Town Spring with many writing buddies. Okay, who gives a shit about that? You know what? I'm going to skip this one. It's not what I thought it was. Maybe I can keep this one. All right, anyways, I'm going to do it. Okay. Long before modern day Old Spring existed, it was the winter camp of the Angusa Indians, known throughout the region as hunters and gatherers and tribe eaters. I wonder what that means. Since the time of Akasakas, Old Time Springs has been involved in school outs from the railroad to the Civil War, a criminal hanging rate, and has experienced countless unexplained fires. See, that's another thing that happens in certain towns I've noticed covering these stories. It's like certain towns have a lot of fires. Okay. A hello, warm, and welcome place for spirits to lure. History is a bit silent about the Awaka Kasa tribe, so I decided to go to the source. Now, this isn't me writing that story, it's somebody else. But since the tribe have long disappeared, I had to get a bit creative. What better way to get the scoop on these Native American cannibals? Oh, so that's what that meant, tribe eaters. Oh, okay. Anyways, cannibals, then go on a ghost tour. Okay. White Wall House was in... Okay, that ain't it. Let's see where we need to go now. Okay, it was built... Oh, okay. I guess one of the first buildings in the town was built, or the town was established, and there was a White Hall, the Hudson White Hall House was built in 1895. That was like one of the first buildings. And here's one of these stories that go that one story goes that a new owner decided to renovate the ghost room, disbelieving the spirit history of the house. Just an FYI, ghosts do not like most decorators, especially not in the private quarters. The owner experiences violent spirit activity, and it looked like many years for the ghostly couple in the upstairs room to calm down and return to their quiet ways. Now there are two clauses in the rental agreement for the Whitehall House. The ghost room is not to be disturbed, and renters are not allowed to break their lease because the house is haunted. Now, see, that's pretty cool. That's a way to use your head. Ah, I like my cold coffee. Our guide leads us to the... leads us further into the town, pointing out stuff here and there. Let's see what else they say about this place. I didn't know he was doing like word for word. I guess I need to redo my reading better before I prep for this. Okay, let's see here. The Wanchi Bros Cafe, a stable in Old Springtown for more than 100 years, is haunted by the original owner, Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie Wanchi. Before the fire, survivors reported silverware that had been moved, chairs flopped over, and footsteps in the off-limits second floor. The second floor is Charles's domain. Even the curtains remain untouched. But Charlie is one of those friendly prankster ghosts that are more annoying than scary. None of these survivors are managers of the Wanchese Brothers Cafe. Believe Charlie to be the, prankster sometimes. Perhaps the curse is in play due to the new addition to the restaurant. For me, the creepiest stop on the tour was the Ice House. It was burned countless times over the years, and when you get close, even the insects go quiet. There is a heaviness in the air surrounding the small building. and a warm and warming flutters under my skin to stop or skin to say to stay away. I got close enough for a picture, but even in daylight the place is creepy. Turns out the ice house would occasionally be used as an extra storage in the 1800s. Corpses were kept in the ice room until they could be made for them. It could be made for them in the room for them. Basically, they had to keep them there until there was room for them in the funeral home. No one is sure who or how many spirits reside in the building. But one thing is clear. They do not like the visitors. Maybe the 300-year-old Indian curse is still affecting this town. This is the fearful respect of the land and the trees here. Fearing being the key word. Well, that place sounds just a little creepy. If you ever get around to it, go to a old spring town. I wish they would have said what the curse was. Okay, the Indians cursed its land when the settlers pushed them out. Okay, our guy. Okay. Well, what was the curse, really? Well, that makes sense, though. You know, they're, like, mad. I mean, because, yeah, the Indians got did wrong. Very wrong. But, well, I have one more. Aren't you guys just in a treat today? Ooh, I got two more, my Atlanta. All right, what is this one? Okay, the USS Lexington in Corpus Christi. The USS Lexington's CV-16 is an XS-class World War II aircraft carrier that after many years of service is now a fantastic memorial aircraft carrier museum that is well worth the price of admission. Once the visitors make it to the Corpus Christi waterfront at Corpus Christi Bay, it could not be missed. It's a gigantic, beautiful ship. The length of the flight deck is 910 feet. The length of the water line is 880 feet. The height from the waterline to the flight deck is 52 feet. The maximum width is 196 feet. The draft keel to waterline is 30 feet, and it displaces 4,200,000 tons. Its average speed was 30 knots. Ranging at maximum speed was 41.131 miles. Or maximum, yeah, okay. So, huh. Okay. All right, now this isn't me telling about the story. This is somebody else, okay? It says, we wandered all over the ship, going up and down the stairs, meant for skinnier and younger folks. But doable with having a sense of adventure. Aircraft carriers, no matter the year, are like a small city, offering everything needed for living and working aboard. We toured the quarters for enlisted men and women and officers. Saw where they slept and bought supplies and went for medical help and recreation. We also saw where they worked during a mission, tour of duty, or peace duties. While surviving on this aircraft carrier, seamen usually stayed in their areas, not venturing into places where they did not belong. Now that the ship is a memorial museum, people who served on board can explore the ship like everyone else. Groups like the Boy Scouts and Cadets, as well as paranormal investigator groups, have spent the night on the ship. There are many USS Lexington CV-16 ship tours, all on YouTube. This is in real time, but it has lots of information and is very thorough. Another tour, shorter and very interesting, can be found here. Okay, the USS Lexington CV-16, also called Lady Lex, was built in the Massachusetts Four River Shipyard, originally to be named the USS Gambit. But when the USS Lexington was sunk in the Coral Sea, its aircraft carrier was given the name. The USS Lexington C-516 became the fifth U.S. Navy ship to be named Lexington, in honor of the Revolutionary War Battle of Lexington. After being commissioned in 1943 and going through some training maneuvers and then getting more practice in a shakedown cruise, the U.S. Lexington C-516 sped off to Pearl Harbor to join the Central Pacific Fleet. Particularly in 21 months of combat and fought efficiency, nearly every battle with the Japanese during 1943 to 1945. Her planes destroyed 372 enemy aircraft in the air and 474 more on the ground. She sank and destroyed 300 tons of enemy and cargo and damaged an additional 600,000 tons. The ship's guns shot down 15 planes and associate and downing 5 more. Okay. This just talks more about its history and when it got decommissioned. It was in use from I think it got shut down right here. It says in the 90s. Not in 1990, having the longest career of any battleship at that time. Now let's hear a history of the manifestations. When people are suddenly killed in battle and whipped out of their bodies, their spirits are sometimes not ready to leave the world just yet, and they stay in the place that is most comfortable and familiar, and perhaps to continue on what they were doing before their sudden deaths. The USS Lexington CV-16 endured 4 major attacks, 2 of which are listed below. Okay, when people die violently or in an unpleasant manner, they sometimes relive the time beforehand, experiencing what they felt and thoughts before they died. Sometimes when high energy is generated by people and events, this energy is consumed by the stationary structure that surrounds it. It is known as residential energy that plays in a loop, and until it is used up, the living hear and see things and people from the past, but no intelligent connection can be made to it. Some of the energy from all of the battle action can be sucked up into the structure of the ship. And here are some more manifucations. I can't even say it now. There are many spirits still on duty on the USS Lexington. They have manifested all over the ship in a variety of ways. Hundreds of personal experiences have been reported. Many sensitive people have felt sick in certain areas of the ship, like the switch room. Some people feel uneasy in there. Sorry, I'm trying to... There we go. My pages were stuck together and I couldn't get them out. Okay, apparently spirits like to help. When painters took a short break, imagine their surprise upon returning to their job to see that their rather large project was completely painted painted for them. Now, that would be some creepy crap. You put your brush down, go stretch a little bit, walk around the deck, you know, get some sunlight, and you come back and the job's done. That would be creepy. An acting duty director of the museum has experienced an often reported occurrence several times. As he came out of his office, he has heard the movement of clothing and the sound of footsteps behind him. When he turns around to say hi, no one is there. Here is the spirits of a Japanese pilot and an American seaman. He said seaman. It seems that the Japanese pilot who caused all the mayhem and death is still on the board as well, as well as someone who died because of the attack. Two staff members saw these two entities standing together for a moment in the hallway. Enemies while alive, but friends now. Spirit of the engine room operator. An engine room operator who died during the Japanese plane attack. He is described as being good-natured, incredibly handsome, buff, with short blonde hair and piercing blue eyes. He calls himself Charlie. Charlie is especially seen on the anniversary of his death. Now we got Charlie amuses himself. Charlie has been seen working in this area, looking intently at an engine, like he was trying to fix it. Charlie gets his chuckles by appearing to visitors when they tour through. He likes to appear in front of pretty young women. When a bunch of candidates spent the night on board, some ran around the ship on a dare and ran right into him in the engineer room. That would scare the hell out of me. Once Charlie appeared very lifelike, dressed in his uniform, introduced himself as Charlie to a family and asked if they would like a tour. When they lost him below deck, they went to ask about him, and we were told that there were no guide tours, and this fellow had died in World War II. Charlie likes to turn off lights and shut doors. Perhaps he is concerned about the electric and heating bill. And too, them doors and them ships are not light, so that's crazy he can move it. But that's even crazier, man, that he died back then and he would give tours and stuff and actually talk to the people like that. That's crazy. Crazy stuff, I tell you. Okay, where am I at now? Still on the USS Lexington. Okay. Entity of the chief petty officer. He has been seen a lot dressed in his uniform, scowling at the living, still mad at himself for backing into a moving propeller. Oh, shit. Whoa, that would be fucking, oh my God. So this guy, you know what a propeller is to a plane, right? Well, back then, they didn't have jet engines just yet. So it's propeller driven. And this guy, I guess, accidentally backed up into one. Oh, God, I bet you there was nothing left. Oh, man. Woo. All right. A mannequin dressed in a uniform has been placed where he usually appears. Now he appears beside it. Yeah, I'd be mad, too. I'd haunt that whole ship. All right, this one's the residential hauntings. Many individuals claim that they hear voices, screams, and even cries of men and women in distress and pain coming from the engine room or coming from the engine room area that was hit by the Japanese plane. Many died of their burns. Visitors and staff claim to have heard these sounds similar to distant guns being fired as in battle. During a lightning storm, a witness heard men screaming and saw a misty view of the entities of several men running across the deck area. It is interesting, though, that these visions needed the energy from the electrical storm to appear. And here we have the entity of the seaman. He has been seen on deck, swabbing the deck. No, I'm just kidding. He has been seen on the deck, attached to whatever he did there. Or perhaps because he died in this area. After a staffer mopped the forward part of the weather deck. Known as his Foxel, he had gone to the other end of the deck to get some coffee. When he returned, he saw a pair of single footprints in the middle of his freshly mopped deck, but no footprints leading to or out of the wet floor. That's weird. So they seen footsteps, but they didn't know where they came from or where they exited from. Yeah, I don't know if I'd work there much. I'd be effing gone. Oh, man. All right. So if you're ever in Texas, go to the USS Lexington. It sounds like a pretty cool place. You know, y'all mean? Okay. We got one more story left, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Our last story is the Plaza Theater in El Paso City. By the Rio Grande. Sorry, I was having a flashback. Anyways, guys, we're going to do the Plaza Theater in El Paso. It stands as a beacon of entertainment with its dazzling manner lighting up the heart of this city. However, whispers of haunted past of its haunted past echoes through its halls, sending shivers down the spine of visitors and staff alike. The historic venue, which opened its doors in 1930, has seen its fair share of eerie encounters that have contributed to its spine-tingling reputation. Legend has it that the theater is home to more than just the memories of past performances. Some say the spirits of performers, patrons from yesteryear have never left the building. The ghost of a woman believed to be a former urchin has been seen wandering the magazine, the mezzanine. Her presence sending a cold draft through the air as she passes by. The most chilling tales, however, revolve around the spirit of a young girl, often heard giggling in the shadows when the theater is quiet. See, that would really creep me the hell out. I'd probably crap my pants. That would be weird, hearing some hee-hee-hee and knowing no one's there. Yeah, F that. Her playful whispers have been known to carry across the still auditorium, leaving a haunted melody in the wake, or in their wake. Staff members have reported encounters with its apparition, some feeling the brush of an invisible hand, or hearing the rustle of a dress when no one else is around. The stage serving as the heart of the theater has been the setting for unexplained phenomenon. Props seem to move on their own accord, and unexplained sounds interrupted the silence of the night. These occurrences have left even the most skeptical with a sense of unease. It is the very walls of the theater hold the secrets of the past. Despite the ghostly residence, the Plaza Theater remains a jewel in the crown of El Paso, its storied history only adding to the allure. While the whispers of its haunted past continues to swirl, it's the show-stopping performances and the magic of the silver screen that keep the lights burning bright in its cherished landmark. Yay! Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Sorry I'm late on it. But, like I said, I'm going to do two more after this one and get caught up for the next 2 weeks. So I should be good, my friends. But, excuse me, I hope you enjoyed the show today. We will see you later, man. Oh, before I go, I want to say thank you guys once again. Go check out the YouTube channel. It's doing great. Remember, hit that subscribe button. Give me a 5-4-star review. Tell me what you think of the show, guys. Leave me a comment. Go find me on Facebook, Ghost Stories Told from the South. And, of course, you can find my podcast on any platform now. So go check me out, guys. Hope you like the show. Just want to say thank you so much. For everybody out there listening, and keep listening. Let's keep this show going. Keep it growing. And we'll see you later. And don't be too scared tonight.